This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. 877-217-5757 is your number if you'd like to join the conversation. In just a bit, we'll talk with General Russell Honore in Hays Town about the vulnerability of the Baton Rouge water supply, and it is a big issue and one that needs to be discussed, and these two gentlemen have become authorities on this particular challenge our community is facing. But it would be inappropriate on this day not to talk to the general about what happened on 9/11/2001, 18 years ago. At 8:38 Central Time, the first building was hit in New York, the right tower, I believe. And then 20 minutes later, the left tower was hit, and more than 3,000 Americans died in the worst terror attack in the history of our country, and one that obviously has relevance to this day. In general, you were in uniform. I'm sure you recall that day vividly.
Yeah, as the bell tolled around the nation today in recognition of what happened. At the time, I was commanding the 2nd Infantry Division along the DMZ in South Korea. And basically just got, it was evening time there, mid-evening. Mm-hmm. I got into my room and watched it like most of the world, this plane going into the towers. And my immediate response was, after a few selected words, I called my division G3 and said, alert the division. And that normally was a signal that we're going to war or we're practicing, getting ready to go to war. And we alerted the division and occupied local assembly areas. All our tanks and artillery was fully loaded. And that was the best place for our soldiers to be as they dealt with this, because my dilemma was, I had 10% of my soldiers in America on the way back because we were there for 12 months, and they've got to go back and forth on leave. That was a significant emotional event, needless to say, to our country and to the world on what happened that day. But that's my moment of where I was and what we were doing, and it was some exciting moments, those opening hours along the DMZ to see was this an opening of the Third World War, because we didn't know what the unpredictability of the North Koreans, or was this isolated event? Like most people, we were guessing, and our president was in the air. I mean, there was a lot of things up in there. Nobody knew what the situation was, and here we are that many years later, and we still got people forward deployed and fighting those same people with the ideology that they could destroy America with some airplanes.
You were 53 years old at the time, a veteran of many years already of the U.S. Army, and he's wearing his Army cap today. And you went in right after Southern University, didn't you?
Absolutely. 1971. That's the only job I ever had. Went in as an obligation and for 4 years, and turned out to be a way of life.
Well, the general was born in 1947. So he was 13 years old when John Kennedy was elected president, and the 35th American president lied to get in a war. He was not physically fit, but he certainly was physically fit enough to carry a man 5 miles on his back through the water after his boat blew up in PT-109. But he, by today's standards, would not have been allowed to serve if he had told the truth about his physical condition. On the other hand, the 45th president appeared to be in grand physical condition and lied about fake bone spurs to get out of a war. What happened between President 35 and President 45 to our country? You're of the same age as the president, the current one, a year younger, and this call to service just isn't there today.
Well, there are two things as a result of the Vietnam War, very unpopular war in so many cases. What war is popular? There became exceptions and exemptions to the draft. And those exceptions and exemptions, following an unpopular war, we moved to a volunteer army, all military. So now we're down to a point about less than 1% of Americans serve in uniform today as a result of that volunteer army. There are good aspects to it and there are bad aspects to it, because we don't get the depth and the breadth of people across the population serving. So when somebody said we want to go bond somebody, I'm going to go, okay, let's go. Let the professionals go handling. My son and daughter don't have to go. And I think when that was on the mind of Americans, we didn't go as many places as we will go today as a result of that. Go and stay as a result of that. I think it's changed America's way to war.
Well, two other U.S. presidents also sidestepped service in Vietnam, even though they were of age. And the general was born in 47, a year after Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Trump. He served, and you went in 1971, and that was prime time. You had to know that you could be exposed to carnage and not so pleasant things.
Absolutely. And I was commissioned in the infantry and went straight to Fort Benning. And by the time I got to my first unit, the drawdown had started, and I missed that war. But many of my friends I grew up with in the Army didn't, and many of them, they suffered a day as a result of the experience they had in Vietnam and a war that they came back from and they weren't well received. It shows the ugliness of what America can treat, how it treat its warriors coming back from war, because the Vietnam veterans were not well received. Mm-hmm. And many of them today are in the process of leaving this earth, going to bivouac in the sky, and they hold that in their heart that they were not well received when they came back from Vietnam.
And they made sacrifices that many men of privilege did not, and they rose to highest levels of government in our country, and there is some resentment, and I can understand that.
Absolutely, and the health care continued to be an issue, Agent Orange, and now we have another generation after 18 years who are struggling to get the medical care they need. We lose 20 veterans a day and soldiers to suicide. Yesterday was National Suicide Day. Tomorrow, the state is going to hold a program on Friday, addressing suicide among our veterans. And that continued to be an issue in America today. And it goes right back to that constant deployment. Many of them been deployed 3 or 4 times. And it's something nobody can explain.
General, do you hold these men of your vintage who got out on college deferments and fake illnesses, maladies, do you hold them in contempt?
Not necessarily contempt, but I walk softly around them, even if they were elected to office. There's something that will always be missing in that last rung on the ladder for them, because they avoided their responsibility. We go back to the founding of this nation, where farmers and carpenters and bricklayers stepped forward to fight the most powerful army in the world, the British Army. They were not well trained and not equipped, but they fought for our freedom. And they set an example for every generation following. And those who sidestep that particular responsibility, they will never feel whole if they avoided that.
When they look themselves in the mirror, they know what they're seeing.
They know what they're seeing. They missed the rung. And I hope they make atonement for it by helping people who need help.
43 years old were you when Desert Storm broke out, and you were there.
I was a battalion commander of the 416th Infantry at the Port of Dammam. Had 18 missiles shot at me and my soldiers.
And you got out okay. And I
got out okay.
Suspect some others did not. But the general, of course, went on a few years later to lead our state back from Katrina. And we're going to segue in just a bit to the water supply, which is a huge issue in this community. But we have a few folks who want to talk to the general, I think, about other matters. And this is your opportunity. Phil in Jefferson Terrace, please be brief. You're on with General Honoré.
Good morning, and thank you, General Honoré. You're one of my personal heroes. But I would say that we traded a lot of our freedom an overreaction to the attack on 9/11. We have the Homeland Security Department, the biggest bureaucracy in government, and a lot of our freedoms were sacrificed for a false sense of security.
All right. What about Homeland Security? Is that something that's necessary?
Well, I think most of Americans thought we need to do something, that the system we had wasn't working. When you've got 5 or 6 people go down to Florida with a suitcase of money and said, we want to learn how to fly a plane, but we don't want to land. And nobody thought that was stupid. And then they went to the airport with questionable documents. The airlines questioned them, but then they let them through and let them fly out of Florida. We were doing some pretty stupid stuff. And as a result of that, we know the end result. And yeah, we did need to do something with our homeland security that we were not doing, and that is to focus on people taking advantage of the freedom we had to fly and to move around from place to place. It may be inconvenient, but I'd rather have what we got than nothing.
David in Atlanta, please be brief. You're on with the general.
Jane's Intelligence Review reported when George W. Bush became president, Russian intelligence gave United States intelligence the exact location of Osama bin Laden, and according to Jane's Intelligence Review, President George W. Bush refused to take action even though he was under indictment for mass murder in the African bombing embassies, and George W. Bush, for political reasons, and that's a quote, refused to take action.
Is that a fact?
Well, a few months before President Bush took office, I was in the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I was the acting J3, the operations officer, and prior to that, I was a deputy. And every day we looked for Osama bin Laden. We would see him, but we didn't have the ability to strike him. He would move every
right.
few hours.
We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. You can send an email to talklouisiana.org. A reminder that podcasts are available. And you can also go to our Facebook page. And we have today Kirby Ferries handling the social media for us. General Russell Honoré and Hayestown Jr. are here to discuss drinking water in Baton Rouge. Hayestown Jr. has been with us before. It's been a few years, but in 2012, at the tender age of 78, he got his master's degree at LSU, and that developed this passion for a big issue in our community that for many years was largely untold, but the general and Hayestown are front and center and right here to talk with us about what the legislative auditor and others now look at and the Capital Area Groundwater Conservation Commission has indicated that our drinking water is not being managed to ensure the sustainability of our sole source aquifer. Our drinking water is being overused and undermanaged, according to these reports. And Baton Rouge right now has some of the best drinking water in the country. But, General, if things don't change, what's going to happen?
C'est la vie. It will go away, and we'll be drinking river water like New Orleans. And we've got to change attitude. We've got to find a new way to do it. It's indicative of the fact when we go back to look at Mr. Town study that came out in 2012 and 13, he laid the groundwork for overuse and what was causing it, the saltwater intrusion, attributing it to overuse by industry. And that stands today. We went, Mr. Towns and I and others went to the legislature twice to try and get some control of industry use of water and was rejected. The first year, Governor Bell, on his first legislative session he led, we went to his office and addressed this issue. And he said, well, go for it. Do what you can. Do for it. Do good. And that bill was rejected. And subsequent, this year we did get a resolution by Representative Marcel to have a declaration to declare the aquifer area of critical concern, which would lead to forcing the industry. That decision be made by the Office of Conservation, Mr. Iyu, to get a declared area of critical concern because we're worried about the life of the aquifer and to preserve water, drinking water, Baton Rouge for human consumption and not industry. And we're in a dilemma because in Baton Rouge, it's about a split between the Baton Rouge Water Company and the industry, the number of millions of gallons they use a day. But you go right across the river in the competing industry, Dow, Shell, Motiva, they all use river water. But on this side of the river, Entergy, Exxon, and Georgia Pacific are the biggest consumers. And they use the law of the right of capture, meaning taking water from under their land, as a rule that they can take the water and use as much as they want because they're people too. And what we're telling them, we want to save this water for human consumption of the five parishes that use the Southern Hill Aquifer, and that is the big rub. It's continuing to be the big rub.
And we're going to get Hayestown in just a moment on this. And as mentioned, he became immersed in this after becoming a septuagenarian and is now perhaps the biggest authority on the quality and vulnerability of our drinking water system here in Baton Rouge. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, good morning. Please be brief.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, thank all y'all for y'all's service to your country and your community. General, I have one question. What justification does Exxon, Georgia Pacific, and Entergy have for using this water? I mean moral justification. I know they apparently can legally do it, but what moral justification do they have?
Well, they use two words. You know, the right under the 1972 right of capture law, which they got passed. And number two, it's been quoted to say they are people too, as an industry. Mm-hmm. They should be in competition with the people because they've got a right to that water, as we do. And the technical excuse, as stated in a meeting a week ago, reviewing these topics, and Exxon employees said in a planning commission meeting I sat in that they would have to re-engineer their water source into going to use river water like the other companies, that the internal water system that they use, and they had reduced water consumption over the last decade, but they're still a major consumer. And he said, well, our system, when we built our plant, this is the way we built it, and we would have to change. Well, it's a $44 billion company, and it's something that they could do if they wanted to do it.
Hayestown, your thoughts about how vulnerable the community is right now?
Well, the problem is the saltwater intrusion, and when we'll have enough water, but it won't be drinkable in a few years. Saltwater's coming in from below Baton Rouge into the Baton Rouge water supply. And it's caused by overpumping both Exxon and Georgia Pacific and Baton Rouge Water. Baton Rouge Water is trying to move their well field to the north to eliminate that problem. But Exxon can't move. They need to switch to river water.
Are they open to that?
They have not been yet. We've met with them before. They said it all in one sentence after I was naive enough to ask them to switch. They said, I don't believe we want to give up that economic advantage right now.
877-217-5757 for General Russell Honore and Hayestown Jr. Mitchell in Glen Oaks. Mitchell, good morning.
Thank you, General. Thank you for your service. God is with you. I just wanted to let you know you need to talk to the youths, the future today, our kids. They need people like you and the water man. Keep doing your work. God love you, too. We all love y'all. Y'all are our true heroes, not them other guys, them politicians, the president. They're not doing right by us. They're selling out for money for the big establishment. Even the radio host, man, keep doing your job. God love y'all.
Generally, it's hard not to smile when we hear from Mitchell and Glen Oaks.
Well, and it's hard. Good to see when government work, Jim. We did get a legislature to request an audit of the Capillary Groundwater Commission last year, and that audit was published this year, and all our listeners can see it. It was published by the Louisiana State Auditor's Office on 9 May 2019. You can go online, or you can go to Louisiana Environmental Action Network website or Facebook page and download that audit. And that audit clearly show that procedures have not been followed, because since 1975, they've continued down the same road of studying saltwater intrusion, and we have not made any improvement. And we've got less clean drinking water today than we had in 75, and it's multi-generational, and the board has a lot of influence from industry, and the audit shows that there are people on the board getting paid by the industry that they work for to come represent the industry.
Well, LEAN, the Louisiana Environmental Action Network, has launched SaveOurWaterBR.com, SaveOurWaterBR.com, where you can find out much more information. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen, do you find that that your high road influence is drowned out by the low road influence of the fat wallets of corporate lobbyists?
That's about the best I've ever heard say that, sir. I'd like to use that quote if it's all right, Dan.
Well, when they see you at the Capitol, these corporate entities, they're probably not all that enthused about seeing the general. They know that they've got a ferocious opponent.
I ran into one of our friends at coming out of a meeting about water, and he worked at Georgia Pacific about 5 years ago. He said, "You like toilet paper?" I said, "Well, yeah, I like toilet paper." But that don't mean you can use all the drinking water, bud.
So you're saying river water is a viable option, Hayes, for
yes,
these
industries? Yes,
definitely
is. They could use the water out of the river. Other industries do. Dow and Texaco and all those industries.
They use river water.
Use river water.
But not
Exxon. And make a profit.
In Georgia Pacific.
That's right.
And it's 1972, a measure that went into effect then that gives them that latitude to use the aquifer.
It was one court case in North Louisiana that did that. And we think it possibly doesn't apply now.
Okay. 877-217-5757. We'll return with General Honore in Hayestown after this pause for the news with Karen Henderson.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Brooke Thorington. DCFS is offering a second chance for parents who've had their driver's license revoked for back child support, but they only have 3 weeks.
Regional Administrator for Child Support Enforcement Sandra Broussard says in the first month of the On the Road Again project, DCFS has collected over $120,000 in overdue child support.
We provided documentation for 140 of those child support payors.
In order to qualify, a parent needs to contact a caseworker and pony up 2 months worth of their court-ordered child support.
And that's on all of their cases, in addition to $100 a month on all cases on their arrears, and the administrative fee if it is court-ordered.
I'm Kevin Barnhart.
The U.S. Census says Louisiana's uninsured rate has dropped 8%, while the national rate increased, it's 8.9%. The governor's office says that's due to Medicaid expansion. 19,000 fewer Louisianans were uninsured in 2018 compared to 2017, LRN.
Louisiana is home to some of the best people in the world. Delicious food, and the fishing is out of this world. From Shreveport to New Orleans, Rayville to Youngsville, everyone is jealous of us in almost every way, except some of the laws we pass.
You're right, Billy. Our state government has grown over the years. Because of all the new taxes, we can't afford your favorite cookies.
Or let me play baseball anymore. And now you and Daddy are talking about moving to another state for a better job. I don't want to leave all my friends.
I know, buddy. We have a lot of things going for us here, and we don't want to leave, but we don't have a choice. If only lawmakers focused on long-term solutions that would make it easier for our family to stay and settle down here. At liftuplouisiana.com, there's a list of proven ideas that make sense and can help Louisiana be the best it can be. It's time to get informed. Visit liftuplouisiana.com to learn more. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity Foundation.
A Houghton man has been arrested on charges that he had sexual relations with juveniles and solicited minors over the internet the past several years. Bossier Sheriff spokesperson Bill Davis says the office is glad the victim came forward, and it's important that law enforcement create a welcoming environment for juvenile victims. He says their work with the Gingerbread House is a good example.
It's an incredible relationship we have to ensure that these investigations are done as professionally and as properly as we can in order to put these bad guys behind bars.
LSU quarterback Joe Burrow is in the Heisman conversation after putting up 749 yards and 9 touchdowns in just 2 games. USA Today Network reporter Glenn Gilbo says the star quarterback for the number 1 and number 2 ranked teams are still his favorites, but Joe is right up there in the second tier of candidates.
Trevor Lawrence and Tua, I mean, they're the favorites, you know, but I think Joe is going to probably be in the mix.
LouisianaRadioNetwork.com.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is our number. You can email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. General Russell Honore is in the house, as is Hayestown. They're both activists trying to protect the Baton Rouge drinking water supply. Hayestown is the son, Hayestown Jr., son of the legendary and world-famous architect who lived to be 101 years old. In the year of 2006, he died. And Hayes got his master's degree from LSU in 2012 at the age of 78, and that's what compelled him to get involved in this issue. And if you're
interested. He is an authority, as is the general, and, of course, they have a position. 877-217-5757 is your number. Let's go to Russell in River Bend. Russell, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, I've read some of Pagetown studies, and get ready, get acclimated to the taste of New Orleans drinking water. From what I understand, the Baton Rouge Water Company has already purchased property on the river for processing Mississippi River water for drinking water for our purposes. And Mr. Hagerstown can also go into how long it took for this water to become our drinking water, and this is not sustainable.
All right. Hayes, do you want to respond to Russell?
Well, we think it's not sustainable at the present rate salt water is intruding on it. So that's the problem. There's enough water coming down, but if it gets salty, it won't be good for drinking water. Baton Rouge Water Company bought property below LSU on the river in 2006 for the purpose of supplying water to Baton Rouge should it become necessary. We're hoping it won't become necessary, but if they don't change something, it will become necessary.
Well, according to the auditor's report, the biggest users of the capital area drinking water are the Baton Rouge Water Company, 24.2 billion gallons used in 2018. Georgia Pacific, 13.1 billion. Exxon, 10 billion. Entergy, 3 billion. West Baton Rouge Gas and Water, 2.1 billion. Echo Services, 1.6 billion. Honeywell, 972 million. The City of Zachary, 926 million. Louisiana State Penitentiary, $793 million, and the City of Baker, $660 million gallons. Lots of water, but as you can see, two of the three biggest users are Georgia Pacific and Exxon. Since some might be surprised, Georgia Pacific actually uses more than Exxon.
Yes, they do. That reduction that they did made a big difference out of those sands. But it's documented in that audit. The Groundwater Commission has failed to execute its duty as authorized, as stated in law. They were not conducting inventory of all the wells. Saltwater intrusion that continued. They have continued to attempt to, but have not stopped the saltwater intrusion. That was one of the reasons they were commissioned. They put no limits on the industry. If you go to North Louisiana, the Sparta Aquifer, which is similar, they put limits on industry water. I've heard it said dozens of times in these meetings, we will not put a limit on industry. I mean, they've made a commitment to that, and hopefully that will change as a result of the study that's being done by the Water Center. Cost used to be $5 per million gallons. Now it's 10. Mm-hmm. They changed that last year and considering another one for industry. We added the Ascension Parish to the capital area groundwater. And those that has not been addressed in terms of what are they going to pay for water for the wells that they're putting in. And they've allowed dozens of wells to be put in without fee and without permit. All this has come out of the audit report. Right. And that has to be fixed.
Owusu and Baker, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, good morning, all. And thank you, General Honore and Mr. Hagerstown, for your work in environmental justice. My question is this. I got my water tested at the LSU Soil and Water Lab, and it came out that I had maybe about 200 milligrams per liter of sodium. And since I suffer from hypertension, as do many African Americans, that was a major concern of mine. And my question is, do you think that high rate of sodium resulted from salt water intrusion?
Yes, it did. They set a limit of 250 milligrams per liter to make water saleable. So it's not supposed to go over that. But if you have a heart condition, you don't want a lot of sodium in your water for sure.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in with the general in Hagerstown. Doug in Gretna. Hi, Doug. You're on Talk Louisiana.
No, good morning. You mentioned the Georgia Pacific, and I heard they were closing. I don't know if that might offer an opportunity to reduce the demand, but it also brings up the question of what new facilities would they would have the expectation they would get to use the groundwater?
General?
I don't know what the future of Georgia Pacific and their use. I know they changed their business model of the type of paper they were producing, and they've reduced the amount of water they're using. But I don't know, Hayes, if you know anything about follow-on.
Well, we're hoping to get to take away the license of the wells that they quit using. They've reduced their consumption a good bit. It's a problem at the commission. Some want to do it and some don't, but we're working on that.
877-217-5757, your number. John and Broadmoor, you're on Talk Louisiana. John.
General and Mr. Town, I really appreciate what y'all are doing. And this is something so important. Nothing more important than drinking water and our air that we breathe. I would like to remind you that, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, my first attendance at one of the water meetings, you both were there, gave wonderful speeches, 21 people on that commission, and I left with the feeling that I don't believe I had anybody up there representing my interests. But y'all may remember this. One of the comments from the public was a lawyer, and he quoted in our state constitution where the state has a right to demand that a business stop a practice that is damaging to a lot of citizens. I thought, wow, that is simple. I'm sure they're going to grab hold of that and start that. Well, how many years has it been, and we still got the same old attitude coming from our legislatures, really?
All right. Thank you. John.
The issue is with the legislature. As we told you, as Towns and I took two bills up there to try and limit that, and both of them were killed. The first one, the first year, Governor John Bel Edwards' office, and this year we finally got a resolution through to declare the area of critical concern, which can be done by Mr. IU and the Office of Conservation. But the problem continues. There are members on the board that will openly tell you they will not do anything that would harm industry. And one of the findings in the audit report is that there are too many people on the board that are assigned to the board by, and is legal that way, by the legislature that work for industry. They get paid. The guy that runs the board now, nice gentleman, but he's an executive with the Entergy Corporation. Another member of the board is a guy from Exxon. What are you going to do? Go back and tell their boss, hey, we gave up water today? And they get paid, and that's gone to the ethics. We filed another paper with the ethics committee that said, can people sit on the board, still be paid by the company, and make solid decisions? And no wonder we haven't changed to river water, because the most powerful people on the board, the first year I got here, the Georgia Pacific guy was in charge of the board. This year, it's the Entergy guy. I mean, nice people, but they're looking out for the people who pay them.
Chelsea at LSU. Chelsea, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Chelsea.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen, and thank you very much for your service. What can residents do to help solve the potential water crisis in the Baton Rouge area? Thank you.
Well, I think, number one, exercise your right to vote. Find out where your candidates are. This is a season to exercise that. Next, organize in your community with your homeowners association, church groups, political groups, and have a voice. And let the legislators know that represent you, that you want something done about this, to include the governor. And the governor's race is coming up, because at the end of the day, that buck will stop right at the governor's office, and something can be done about it between he and the Office of Conservation.
All right. Marie writes, thanks to General Honoré for your service. Have you asked Exxon and other companies that draw from the aquifer how much it would cost them to convert to river water, and could we negotiate a tax break to help with that cost?
We've asked them to do that. They've never revealed what it might cost, although I believe they do know. They, Senator Dan Clayton tried to pass a bill to give them a tax break to build water treatment plants, but it didn't get started at all in the legislature.
Anthony Duplichon writes, since Mr. Town is a member of the Capital Area Groundwater Conservation Commission, should he shoulder some of the blame?
Yes, I think so, but I'm trying to change it.
Well, are you getting some traction? Are people running from you the way they run from the general at the Capitol?
Well, it's a strange feeling, but I'm working on it.
All right. Here's a question, General, on unrelated topics since we're short on time. Tracy at the Capitol asks if U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell should take up the gun regulation bill about background checks passed by the
House.
And you're a gun owner, I would suspect.
About 17.
17
of them. You know, 70% of America don't own guns.
I know.
About 10% own over 80% of the guns. Let's get it done.
All right, but these background checks that loopholes, you say get it done.
Get it done.
But it looks like it's not going to get done.
Well, again, call your legislature. Let them know. Make sure our senators know we want something done.
Well,
we got two of them up there that can influence this.
All right, we'll
call
spend a few more minutes with General Honoré and Hayes-Town Jr., and then we'll hear from Dr. James Gordon, author of The Transformation, Discovering Wholeness and Healing After Trauma. Back after this time out, your number is 877-217-5757. You are listening to Talk Louisiana on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. General Honoré and Hayes-Town Jr., who are front and center on trying to protect the Baton Rouge Aquifer, they are with us for just a few more minutes. And Ricky Causey writes, I think about the millions of gallons of water wasted in junk food sodas and people's obsession with car washes, and don't get me started on swimming pools and backyards. Do we have a problem with consumption, too?
We have enough water if it doesn't get salted up, if it doesn't get too much chlorides in it. The problem is we're pumping so hard that it's drawing the salt water from south of the fault into the Baton Rouge area.
What's the next step, General?
Next step, declare an area of critical concern and start telling the industry, just like they do in North Louisiana, this is how much you can use. And or you've got to use river water. You got this many months or years to do it, so we can extend the life of the aquifer. That, I think, are three or two critical points that need to happen. The Office of Conservation has the authority to declare it. They do it in North Louisiana. They tell the industry how much they can take. And look, there are solutions to this, Entergy and Exxon to use. Technical solution. Have them go ask the Dow engineers. That ought to make energy and Exxon engineers. They know how to do it. They use river water.
All right. Well, General Honoré, thank you for joining us as always. Good to see you, Hayes-Town Jr. The general's off to Baltimore, where he will be speaking at Johns Hopkins University. He's obviously a man who continues to be in demand for good reason.